Okay. So on Thursday, was it? Thursday. We saw the Rambam and the Tshuva of Maisanisim, Rambam and Rambam, and Rav Nathan Abavli, about what qualifies for something to be counted as one mitzvah or to be multiple parts of a single mitzvah. No, that was two sides of the same coin. Multiple parts of one mitzvah or multiple mitzvah. There we go. There we go. Now, we noted that the Gemara has a discussion about this, about both the relationship between a single talis string, tzitzis string, and four. Then, when we get to the next parak, which is the next sugya, really, by tchilin lavan, and by the tchilin shel yad and the tchilin shel rosh. But what's interesting is that the Gemara provides several very specific nafgemina, technically, David, right? Nafgemina? Okay. Colloquial is nafgemina. Correct is nafgemina, right? What?
That's what we'll go with.
Good. Fine. Right. The reason is, do you know why? Okay. Let's do a little bit of grammar here. Nafka mina. Why? What is a nafka mina? Yeah. Why does it? What does it literally mean? Right. That which comes out from this. Right. Or in Hebrew, yotze mizeh. Right. My yotze mizeh. What comes out from this? Right. So the plural is not nafka minot. Right. It's nafke mina. Multiple things come out from it. Right. The only way would be nafka minot, I guess, or something like that, would be if one thing came out from multiple sources, right? But since you're talking about multiple things which come from one source, it's nafke mina. Okay, good. David is happy for the day. Baruch Hashem.
Hey. Sorry, just ignore me.
Okay.
I was happy for David.
I'm happy for David, too. If we can do a little bit of grammar for him, it's great.
No, this is for everybody, not just for me.
Look, one day he'll go to YU. He'll be a student of Richard Steiner, and he'll love it, you know? You know, the people who love Professor Steiner love it, and the people who don't,
hate it.
Don't. Look, he wrote an entire book on the letter Shin, or two volumes on Shin, or Tzadi, I forget.
Can I read this book? I'm just curious. Like, just
if you'd like to.
Chapter.
I have never read it. But he wrote about it. He's an excellent scholar. What?
Is it an audiobook?
I don't know. He's an excellent scholar. Certain people really love studying philology, and...
Yeah.
And if they love it, then he is the man. And if you don't love it, then don't read it. Yeah. Okay, good. So, the stuff I've read of him are indeed excellent. I mean, he is a phenomenally careful scholar.
Knows that much about the letter Shin, and I imagine...
I would hope, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
okay, good. But the Gemara asks, okay, so the Gemara says, what is the difference? Right, what is the difference? Who cares whether you count... Who cares whether it is one or four mitzvot? Okay? Now, before we see that, I think we mentioned this, but it's worth pointing out. Why would you assume that all of the tzitzit are one mitzvah? What would lead to that position?
It's like possible if you only have three or four.
Rafi?
I was going to say, because the pasuk says... I'm not
pointing
on the exact quote right now.
Because the pasuk says tzitzit. Yes, thank you.
Yes,
right, it is. It is right. Very good. Right, that is. I think that's pretty obvious. Right, the svara to say that the four tzitzit are one. Right, the tchilin in lavan is more complicated, and we'll see that when we get to it. Right, but four tzitzit versus one. Right, yes, it calls it tzitzit. You put the tzitzit on the beged. Right, so you would say this thing called tzitzit are one thing with four parts, right? That is the law. And if you, right, just so I have a source that says that, right, if you look just at the end of the sources before, right, before we get to the ones we're looking at mostly today, right, he writes the Haktava Kabbalah. So, this is an important point historically, okay? For a long time, most of the Mefarshim did not bother trying to figure out where the biblical laws came from in the Torah. Right, they just assumed that we had lost the Mesorah, right? That Chazal knew how to derive halacha from the Psukim. We don't, and therefore our job is just to understand the Bavli. But then something happened in the 19th century that, as Professor Yaakov Ellman wrote, brought about what he called a resurgence of omni-significant interpretation of the Torah.
Haraganiza.
What?
Haraganiza.
No.
Damn.
The Reform Movement, thank you. That's the other option, right? Yeah. The Reform Movement was that people, right, there was a sustained movement to challenge the legitimacy of Chazal's interpretation, so therefore there was a group of scholars who arose and attempted to return to the Chumash and try to figure out and understand the exegesis of Chazal. So he notes that there were several main ones. There was the Netziv, right, from Naftali to Yehuda Berlin, right? There was the Malbim.
None of those were Reform, though.
No, these were response to, right? They were in the period when Reform was arising, so there were traditional scholars. Yeah. Well, mostly traditional scholars and one non-traditional scholar who also wrote about this. Beno Jacob also wrote about this, mm-hmm. right? Who was not a traditional scholar, but despite that, he returned to this. Omnisignificant is just a fancy academic way of saying the contention that every possible valence in the Torah is true, right? Every implication, every hint, every inference that can be drawn should be drawn, right? Essentially, right, that model of Chazal. So one was the Nativ, one was the Malbim, one was what we're going to see, the Ketava Kabbalah of Yaakov Mecklenburg. Now there were others, right? The Meshech Chachma is a bit later, right? Meshech Chachma is into the 20th century. The Meshech Chachma, right, who is Rameir Simcha of Dvinsk, right? The Or Sameach is his other famous work, and that's not his name. He also wrote this. In this way, did I mention everyone? Yeah, I mentioned the four, right? The four main ones, he said, in the 19th century were those four, right? Netziv, Malbim, Ketava Kabbalah, and Beno Jacob. It is interesting to note, and this is maybe a shiur for another time, that this seems to have not ended with trying to understand how Chazal interpret Psukim, but in the case of Netziv, at least, in several places, it led to him arguing that you could make new drashot lahalacha from the Psukim that Chazal did not make. Which is a big, huge machloka whether you're allowed to do that. But Netziv happens to, in several places, do this in his Tshuvot Lamaisa.
No, Misham is the one that's missing, so that would just mean that you can do Kedushin. The only thing that they didn't cover, at least extensively.
No. Even on things that Chazal, meaning even a drasha Chazal didn't make. But in a normal halacha that they could have made the drasha, right? The Netziv will sometimes be mechadesh halacha straight from the psukim, right? And the Meshech Chachma, not surprisingly, will do the same thing, right? There are right now. It's a huge machlokah that's okay. What? So Netziv, the Gemara outlines in the Netziv's case, the Gemara outlines that there are two chiyuvim of kibud av eim, colloquially speaking, kibud av eim and yirat, right? Morah, right? He creates a third category called. Makle aviv imo, which is radical degradation, which can forbid things that should be permitted under the other two categories. Meaning, right, the accepted halacha, okay, this is going on a tangent, but it's interesting anyways, right, the accepted halacha based on Marik and Chukos Samachlav, which is Nifsak Halacha by the Ramah, is that a parent, that kibud av eim extends only to that which is relevant to the parents, and therefore a parent cannot tell a child who to marry, because that's something that belongs to the child's life and not the parent's life, right? That's what the Ramah Paskins based on Marik. The Netziv argues that that's only true if the parent just doesn't like the person that they're marrying, right? But if it would cause them objective anguish, or objective, not anguish, degradation, humiliation, then the parent can insist that the person doesn't marry them, because that's not an isser of kibud, or a fulfillment of kibud, it's a isser of makleh. Right, which he takes from a different pasuk in the Torah, which Chazal don't quote. Mm-hmm. Right, there's a third time that kibud av eim comes, and that's in the klalot in Dvarim, mm-hmm. right, and that's where he gets it from. Right, the Netziv is mechadesh this, and Ruvadia Yosef has to quite bend over backwards to, because he, you know, Ruvadia can't just say we aren't allowed to darshan to psukim. He doesn't like doing that because he likes quoting important sources. The Netziv is important, so in order to explain why we don't paskin like the Netziv, he has to actually develop a whole arichos. Yeah, so he actually has a fascinating piece, but that's the reason I bring this up is the Ketava Kabbalah. Now, for those Maimonideans among you, the reason that I spend some time with this in my shir, as my shir knows, is because the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah in the first parak says, "What is Talmud?" So the first thing the Rambam says, "What is Talmud?" is understanding the path from Torah Shebichtav to Torah Shebaalpeh. How did the Torah Shebaalpeh derive the halachot that it did from the written Torah? Meaning, for the Rambam, that is Talmud. Before you get to analysis of those halachot, it's how did we even get there? Right? And therefore, according to the Rambam, that is, when we say you're studying Talmud, that process is critical. So, in that vein, I give you the Ketava Kabbalah. This one, you don't necessarily need the... Sometimes the things that Ryakov Mecklenburg come up with are brilliant, and I could not have seen it coming. This is just simple and obviously true, Rafi was mechaving to it, but to see why, right, to why this became a thing. So the Ketav HaKadosh writes, he says, V'arba tzitziot, ma'akvin zo et zo, sh'arbatan mitzvah achat, v'her b'tosot yom tov, amruk b'gemar minal anha. Right, he said the Tosfos Yom Tov, and again, this is classic, right? The drasha isn't complicated, but the Tosfos Yom Tov is a few hundred years earlier, so he says, I don't know why the Gemara says this, and leaves us a question, right? Because there was, right, this notion of trying to go back was sort of frozen, right? It wasn't like till the 19th century when suddenly systematically, right, like the Malbim, people don't realize, right? The Malbim, for the most part, is a commentary not directly on Chumash, it's a commentary on Midrash Halakha, right? Because he's trying to understand how did Chazal get to where they did. So he writes, V'nir li, sheyata lehem midama ritem oto, blashon yachid. Because when it says tzitzit, what does it say? You shall see. It, oto, singular. Right? And therefore, it is one. Yoresh arbatan kachat nechshavim. V'itachen del chavan hazo, kol shalosh pamim, uskar parashat tzidim, chavsarim yud batra, v'zayur al chadam yachad. So maybe that's why tzitzit is always written as if it were a singular, it's lacking the second. Yeah, that's already speculative. But the simple pshat, the reason, the majority position, the one we follow, is that the four tzitzit are one. Our one mitzvah is because of to. It's called it, not them. Right? Now, you'd have to, if you wanted to say it's four mitzvah, you'd have to say it's it, and it. Right? You'd have to, like, play a little bit of a linguistic game there. Okay. But now let's go back to the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, well, what hangs on this? Who cares? What does it mean that the four tzitzit are one mitzvah or not? So let's go back. What are the Gemara's? We read this on Thursday. But what are the Gemara's nafke nina? Right? What do the Gemara suggest? What's the difference, David? You think you read the Gemara on Thursday? So what are the differences?
That if you have only three instead of the four,
yeah,
then do you need to? Are you still mekayem the mitzvah with?
So that should have been the nafka mina. That's the problem. Right? This is the problem. Is if I asked you, what is the nafka mina between thinking that the four tzitzit are one mitzvah or four mitzvah, you would have said, right? Are you mekayim anything? Do you fulfill anything by putting three on? Right? What's the problem? That the Gemara does not say that. Right? The Gemara does not say that that is a nafka mina. The Gemara never says, oh, the difference between whether it's one or four, right? One or four mitzvot is... Or the way the post can put it slightly sharper. Because obviously you have to have four, right? The way they put it is, what if I only have enough string for three? Should I bother putting on anything? Right? Isn't that the most obvious nafka mina? Right? That, is it one or four? Well, the nafka mina is, if I have no choice, is it meaningless to put on three, or is it meaningful to put on three? Right? That should be the nafka mina, except it's not. What are the Gemara's nafka mina? One is sadin batzitzit. Which is what?
Having a kilayim issue.
Right, if it is made of kilayim, did one violate kilayim in these tzitzit? Because halachically you're allowed to have wool strings on a linen beged, and you don't violate kilayim, consider, if you are in the process of fulfilling the mitzvah tzitzit. And therefore, if it is, you have three tzitzit on the beged, so if you think it's four mitzvot, so then... You didn't fulfill the mitzvah tzitzit necessarily, but...
No problem.
But it's not kilayim. And if you think it's one mitzvah, no, then you did. Right? That was nafka mina one. What was nafka mina two?
Walking around on Shabbat.
Good. It was Shabbat. Right? If you go outside on Shabbat with a four-cornered beged with three tzitziot in a place which is a Rashud HaRabim
Daraisa... Is it carrying?
Right? Is it carrying? Right? Did anyone actually go and check with Yosef? Right? About his family minhag? No, you didn't. Right, I told you, you can go and check with Yosef, right, that his family minag, right, the Salvagic family minag, is that they didn't go outside on Shabbos with tzitzit, to be choshesh for the position, that tchelet makev et halavan, right, and therefore you can't be, right, or at least, again, I've seen different versions of it from different people in that tradition, right, whether you only do that when there's no Erev, or even there is, again, that gets complicated, because in general, briskers tend to be very machmir on Erevin, so they often don't rely on Erevin, so... Except where I live in Dagan is 98% of a Rambam Erev. I just need to add one Tzura Pes, two Tzura Pesach, and it'll be a Rambam Erev L'chol HaDeot. It already has four walls. It's just three, just two Ptachim. There's like three of us who are like, well, it's really good according to almost all Shita, but just, it'll be good according to all Shita if we put up two more Tzura Pesach. Okay. But that's nafka mina number two. And what's third? What's the third? Right. Was the right? Was if you cut off the corner, right? Now you have five corners. Actually, no, that was not enough to be there. Let's just leave that for a moment. Let's start with the first two. Okay. Let's start with the first two. Okay. So the question that everyone wants to know is, why were these the nafkamina? Why didn't we just say, simply, the nafkamina is, if you only have enough string for one or two or three tzitzio, why don't you just put them on? If you think it's one mitzvah, it's meaningless. If you think it's four mitzvot, so at least zemashayesh, right? Why didn't the Gemara give that example? Right? Isn't that the simplest answer, right? So good, you tell me. So start telling me, why would you think that that's not what the Gemara said? Right, meaning what's the Gemara asks, what is the difference between saying that the four tzitziot are four mitzvot or one mitzvah? And the Gemara comes up with these cases. Did you violate chel? Did you violate shanes? Are you over on Shabbat? Right? But why didn't the Gemara just say, the question is, are they meaningful in and of themselves or not? Nafka mina. If I only have enough string, nagid, for one corner, should I bother putting it on? Right? Or something like that. Come up with something that would be much more directly about, right? Why does the Gemara say the nafka mina is, well, tchelet. So what would you say? Right? Why is that not what the Gemara says? Right? We talked about what determines if something is one mitzvah or multiple mitzvah, but why was this what the Gemara thought one mitzvah or multiple mitzvah is about? Right? Or to take it differently, right? This was exactly what the Rambam said by the Arba Minim. The Rambam said, how do I know that the Arba Minim are one mitzvah? Because if I don't have one of them, I don't bother taking any. Right? Because it's meaningless. So why don't you just say that? Right? That's the simplest nafka mina. Right? If they are related, if it's all four components of one mitzvah, so then if I don't have anything, it's not worth doing. And if it's multiple, right? Right? Why did the Gemara not say the obvious? Right? This is the question everyone wants to deal with. Because... So tell me, what do you think? Right? What would you add? What would you say? Good. So one possibility, the Yeshua said, is maybe when the Gemara says that according to Rishmael it's four mitzvot, he didn't really mean that. That's a really hard svar to justify. Meaning, is that really four? Or he didn't really mean that? Meaning, what evidence would you have to say that four doesn't quite mean four? What evidence would you have? I know David doesn't like, but what evidence would you have for something in that direction? There's good evidence. What would you think? Yes, thank you. The Torah calls it four. The Gemara says four, right? Put it on the corners. Right? I mean, everything is about fours on the corners. I mean, the whole emphasis is on the four corners you put tzitzit, right? There's a good reason to believe that it would be very weird to really say that these are four completely separate mitzvot, right? Like, what I understand to say tchelin lavan, you can have a machloket. Right? Tfilin shal rosh and tfilin shal yagan machloket. But tzitzis. Mapidom, you have, what, it's four mitzvot? You're going to count it as separate mitzvot? What? Right? Like, the front left, the front right, the back left, the back right, it's four mitzvot, and the minyan mitzvot doesn't make any sense. Right? The Torah calls it, right? Put tzitzit on the four corners of your baged. Right? Mapidom. Right? Meaning, maybe it can't be that Rishmal means what he says at first glance. Right? He means something more nuanced. Right? Or, you want to put it slightly differently. No one would tell you that if you have four corners, you don't need to put four on. Right? No one would tell you that. Right? No one would tell you that ab initio. Right? What would they tell you? So what happens if you have a beggar that only has, right, and you don't have enough string? What would they tell you?
Don't wear it.
Don't wear it! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Yeshua. Right? Don't wear it! Right? Meaning there's an iser. Right? There's an iser component. Right? Maybe that's the problem. Right?
So, okay.
So let's see what the Rishonim and the Achronim said, because this is really what they're figuring out. I know that right now what this is really doing, that this diyun here is really focusing on in a very sort of hyper textual sense is, what exactly did this even mean? Right? Did it really mean, when the Gemara said it's 1 versus 4, did it mean that in the same way it asks about Tilon Shel Yad, Tilon Shel Rosh, or Tchila and Lavan, or the Arba Minim, right? Or was there a notion that at some level it's obviously 1, right? They're related at least. It has to be. Right? You read the Pesukim, how can you read it differently? Right? And therefore it has to mean something slightly different, with a little bit more nuance. But that's really what the Rishonim and the Acharonim are getting at. So I gave you basically three answers here. One is the Rashba, which appears in a slightly different form than the Yuchas LaRashba, which again, we're not 100% sure who that is. It might be the Rashba, it might be somebody else. It's not clear. It's not the one over there. Right? If you have the blue set of Rashba over there, but it's not that. It's this separately sold book, which also looks blue, but it says Chidushim LeAchad MeHarishonim SheNidpesu Al Shem HaRashba. Right, that's the technical definition. Right, is the novelties of one of the Rishonim that was printed as if it were the Rashba. Okay, it might have been the Rashba, it might have been a Talmud of the Rashba. Who knows? Right, it's not as bad as Shita LaNadu LeMing, where we really have no idea. Yeah, I remember when I was in Rambam in 9th grade, one of the 11th graders at the time decided that because no one had claimed authorship of the Shita LaNadu LeMing, by definition, right, that he was the author, right? That was his thing for the year, right? That he claimed authorship of the Shita LaNadu LeMing. And of course, Rabbi Ziskin, Kedarko Bakodesh, spent the rest of the year, every time he suggested a svara that was against Shita LaNadu LeMing, asking stiras on him so that he, you know, would have to eventually renege on this in Irish case. Fine. Okay. Fun things happen in Rambam.
Why, though?
You have to know the person. He was an interesting... He was fun.
But that's like...
You have to know the school, so.
Yes.
But I feel like if I had to guess which school somebody would say, I'm actually the guy who wrote the Shita LaNadu LeMing.
It would be totally Rambam. Totally Rambam. I should tell Rabbi Friedman this story. I don't know if he knows about it. Okay. Good. Fine. So let us look at the... So I don't know, maybe these are okay, interesting that the one on Bar Ilan, these are two versions that say Miuchas Lo, but actually this is the Miuchas Lo. Okay, these are two paragraphs in the Rashba, or the Miuchas Lo Rashba. So here's what he says, okay. He says, Mai Beinayu, Mikom Makom, Bein Limar Uvein Limar, Beinan Arba Tzitziot, Kedichtev, Al Arba Kanfot Ksutecha. It says, the reason that, right, that the Nafkamina wasn't simply... Right? Is there value to put it? It's because the pasuk tells you you got to put it on all four. So that can't mean, that can't be what the Gemara means when it says one or four. It can't be. You have to put it on four. He says, Vikasha. My boy, my ika beinayu. He said, why did the Gemara bother asking? What is the difference? Hachelon depligi Rabbi Yishmael. Vikomar darba atam arba mitzvot. Since Rabbi Yishmael holds that they are four mitzvot, Alma. He said the simple difference is, do you need all four in order to be yotze any? Isn't that the most straightforward, right? And he comes and says, no, you don't need all four. He said, just say, if I don't have enough string for four, so put on three. Right, that's the obvious nafkamina. Good. So what does he answer? This is four lines down. Who wants to take the Rashba? Okay, I read you the question which I already said outside. Who wants to read the Rashba? Oh, Rafi is so brave. From four lines in. I just summarized. I read through the question quickly, but four lines into the Rashba where he says, Venir Ali. Right? It's like right four lines in the Rashba. Right, like, you got it?
I say two lines down.
Got it? Venerly. It's in Rashi Tovit.
Dafi,
the Rosh. Dafil, that one, yeah. That's right. Dafil, Rabbi Ishmael.
Kedepesh
Rashi.
Kedepesh Rashi makes much more sense. Ben Lamar, Ben Lamar. Mars by Dalit Sitzit, Forsitzitkidichti, all four confoed in Sotecha.
But he says, right, exactly what he said. He said, it can't be that Rabbi Shmuel really means. This is four separate mitzvot, and therefore you can fulfill the obligation by putting on three. How does he know that's not pshat? Right? Because, right? How does he know that's not pshat?
Rasulullah Markesh Azir Rahmana Al Hadidin Thai Dal Sisit Al Dal Kampo Mishmad E. Lega Dal Sisit Lokiam Nitzvah Gidilim.
Right, he says, okay, stop there for a second. So what does he say? It must be that Rishmal agrees that four doesn't really mean four. And what's his evidence? I know David doesn't like it, but what's the Rashba's contention, right? This is the Rashba, or Milchus the Rashba. It's some Rishon, okay? It's not like, right, why does the Rashba say that must be true? Again, we just said it, because the Torah says four! Put it on four, right? No one can come and say, this is not Chelin and Lovin, where we can have an argument. This is not Tfilin Shilyan, Tfilin Shorosh, right? This is four tzitzit, right? Everything in the Psukim point to these being, in some level, an integrated whole. And therefore, this can't quite mean what it means in other places in Shas. And therefore, he says, Umaydik Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Arba'atan Arba Mitzvot. Then what did he mean when he said four? Lo Amar Hachi Legabe Dinema Dlo Akfu Zedze. It doesn't mean that he was weighing on the question, do you need all four to make them meaningful? Dim Kain, Havi Lelememar Hachi. Because the next Amud, Laman Chet, teaches you that we have a language for that. It's called Ma'akev Zedze or Lo Ma'akev Zedze or Ma'akvot. She'ra'atan ha'mitzvot. Ela sover da ma'akve adadi. Obviously he holds that they are. Va'filu arba mitzvot mikol makom kapid kra de'lahavu ahadadei. He said, what is it? And now that we saw the Rambam and Avraham and Rambam, we can understand what the Rashba is saying. He says, it must be that Rabbi Shmuel holds there are four mitzvot, which are ma'akev each other. Now, how does that make sense? What did Rabbi Avraham and Rambam, you are here. What did Rabbi Avraham and Rambam say? Right? Remember, the Rambam and Rambam was asked by Rav Natan Abavli, and he said, how could it be that the Rambam counts two mitzvot of Karban Pesach and Achilat, of Shechitat Pesach and Achilat Pesach? How does he count multiple mitzvot if they're ma'akev? Right, if they prevent the fulfillment of each other. If you don't eat it, we paskin. There's a machloket in the Gemara, but we paskin that you have to, and the Rambam paskins like that way, similarly, that you have to bring Karban Pesach again. So how can the Rambam count as two mitzvot? Right? They're ma'akev, aren't they? All right, aren't they contingent, one or the other? What does he say? There's internal contingent, right? There's internally contingent and externally contingent, right? Meaning, you can say that two things are contingent because they are part of the same thing, right? So, right, like the Arba Minim was his example, right? The mitzvah is dig the Arba Minim. The reason that if you don't have an esrog, you aren't yotzei is because you don't have the Arba Minim. It's just internally, right? But he says you can have external contingency, right? So like we said, if someone says, I missed my train and therefore I didn't make it to work, getting on the train was ma'akev, him getting to work. But no one would say that being on the train is the same as being at work. Right? You can have a procedural thing where one is conceptually distinct from the other thing. They just happen to prevent fulfillment. Right? I won't get to work if I miss my train. That doesn't mean my train is work. I don't get paid for being on the train. Right? If I have a 9-to-5 job, right, I get paid by the hour, so my commute time doesn't count. Right? Then what does it mean that not getting on the train prevents me from getting to work? It means just that. Right? You miss the train. Right? I remember whenever I would try to commute from Sharon. Right? Where like the commuter rail, it's like once every 2 hours. Right? You miss it. Right? You miss the commuter rail to Boston. Like, forget it. Right? Forget it. The next train, this happened to us when we were visiting over the summer. We missed it by 5 minutes, but Baruch Hashem, we had a car. So we just forget it. We'll just drive. Right? But like, not everyone can just drive. Right? And then you get stuck in traffic and, right? But, right? It's not that the train is work. Right? You can have things that prevent the fulfillment of something else because they happen to be connected, but not because they're conceptually the same thing. So what does the Rashba say? He said, look, what Rabbi Shmuel means is the following. He says, yes, so these are contingent on each other. Meaning in order for this to be meaningful, it needs to be four. That's what the Pasuk says. Right? He says, what does it mean they're different mitzvot? It's not about you fulfill. You don't fulfill without four. Right? But what it means is, it's not meaningless. Right? It's a very fine line, the Rashba is saying. What is Rabbi Shmuel's argument? Is that three tzitziot are not sufficient to make you fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzit, right? Because they are externally contingent on each other, meaning you need to check off all four boxes, right? It's like, I think we gave the mashal of a circuit, right? I need to connect the entire circuit or it won't even get off the ground, right? But the question here isn't, are they ma'akev? Obviously they're ma'akev. But they're externally, right? It's like the train going to work, right? Meaning one is contingent on the other. I won't get to work unless I get on that train, right? But, right, if I asked a different question, which was not, I'll put it this way, right? If the question was, did I make it to the train station, or did I make it on the train, right? There's an accident, right, on the train track, Rahman al-Atlan, right? So I get on the train and I don't make it to work, right? So now I'll say I didn't get to work, right? Getting on the train was necessary to get to work. I got on the train, but I still didn't get to work, right? So I'll say, okay, did I get to work? No, right? In order to get to work, I need to get all the way to Boston, then I need to get to work. But did I get on the train? Is that significant? The answer would be, I mean, it happened. Meaning, it may not be significant for my boss, right? But when I get home and I describe my day, I'll say I was stuck on the train for 3 hours, right? Meaning, it happened. What the Rajba is saying, Rabbi Shmuel is not saying, do I fulfill my obligation without four? Obviously, I don't. I need four. The question is, does halacha think that without four, it didn't happen, right? Or something happened. It's not enough, but it happened. It is recognized as at least part of the process, something which is quantifiable, right? And therefore, what does the Gemara pick? The Gemara picks nafkemina that highlight what? Not, am I yotzei tzitzit, because I'm not, but highlight, was this meaningful or meaningless, right? And that's the nafkemina. Right, the nafkamina is, if it's completely meaningless, then even though I had strings that are made of wool and a linen beged, which had I put a fourth, would be permitted, because it'd be shanes and tzitzit, which is mutter. Once I have three, if you think it's zero, so then, this wasn't tzitzit in potential, it was a shanes, right? But if you think this wasn't, right? Sorry, brain freeze. Right, if you thought it was tzitzit in potential, so then it's not shanes, right? Or to put it differently, right? Let's say it's the difference between a circuit and a building, okay? If you're 90% done with a building, do you have a building?
No.
No, you don't have a building, right? Right, you don't have a finished building, right? Or I'll put it, fine, different. If I'm in the middle of building an apartment, okay? There are no apartments yet. The outside structure is up. There's no apartments inside. Is that an apartment building?
No.
Not yet. Is it nothing?
No.
No. And if I wanted to demolish it, it'll take time, right? If I want to build it, there's something there. If I want to build a circuit, right? And I haven't connected it. Is there any electric current going through it? No, nothing, right? Because a current needs all, right, the entire to be connected, or zero happens, right? What he's arguing is that's really what this is. Everyone agrees that it's not a completed product and therefore it's not meaningful, right? The question is, it like a circuit where until you get 100% nothing happens, or is it something that can be viewed conceptually as building blocks, right? Or bricks, right? If it's bricks, I'd say, look, there's something here. Right, it's not nothing. If I want to build an apartment building and I have an empty, right, an empty shell that someone, right, they went bankrupt in the middle, right, I can still sell it for some money because, right, a lot of the infrastructure is built, even if it's not an apartment building, right? But the quiet, right, is someone going to get electrocuted, right? Is the electric thing going to run the circuit? The answer is no. It's all or nothing, right? So that's what the Rajba is saying, right? So if you look at his language, he says, look, obviously the Ma'akev Zedzeh, right? It's not tzitzit without four. He said, what did he ask? Ka'amar Rabbi Shmuel dehem arba mitzvot lomar dikishim kimeim kiyem arba mitzvot, is that once I got to the end, all four components are recognizable. Right? That's what it is. Right? Meaning once I finish it, and think about it, right? Go back to the mashal of the apartment building. Once I finish the apartment, and it's undeniably an apartment building, now can you talk coherently about the exterior, the interior, the elevator? You can. Just because it's now a completed whole doesn't mean that I don't recognize the components of it. Right? I can talk about that coherently. So the Rabbi Shmuel says that's what tzitzit are. There are four coherent, right? You can talk coherently about four units, Now, without everything, it's not tzitzit. But it's also not nothing. And all kilayim needs, and all Shabbos needs, is meaningful, not meaningful. Right? It's a lower standard. Right? So he says, Dila Tanakamuk Shikiyim Lokim El Mitzvah Achat. According to the Tanakama, once I have all four, it integrates into one whole. It's like the circuit, right? It's all or nothing. The second you close it, the electricity goes around, that's it. I don't care what's in the middle, right? But everyone's going to agree that they're all necessary to fulfill a mitzvah. Ulekach boy, my benayu. That's why the Gemara asks here, what is the difference? Kevan de ma'akve. De'im yishum nafkuta. De'ika benayu de lamarki mitzvah achad. Or marki marba mitzvah. Leka nafkuta. The Malan of Ahachi, and he says, don't give me a lamdish one. Right? You could have been a Grace Lamdan and just said, the Nafkamina is Ba'olama Emes. Do you get four checks or one check? Right? Why didn't you answer that? And what does the Rashba say? Why is that not the Nafkamina? Because who cares? Right? The Rashba says, who cares? Right? That's not a Nafkamina. Well, how many checks you get in Shamayim does not interest me. Right? That's what he says. He says, who cares? And therefore, instead, what it gave was, he said, but there's a quantifiable difference about kilayim, which is, do we beat you or not beat you? Right? Do we give you malchus? That is very quantifiable, right? Mishum kilayim. Even though you weren't fulfilling the mitzvah tzitzit, that's why the Torah called them independent mitzvot. To tell you, don't get malchut. Mishum kilayim for violating shanes. To hold the chol achat mitzvah v'fenatzmi l'kshiu sham arba hashanami the lecha el shtayim mikom makom kol chad mitzvah hivelolaki. Okay, that is the Rashba. If you look at the next line, there's another formulation in the Rashba. He says slightly differently, only slightly. Is it worth looking at the nuanced differences? Okay. It's a slightly clearer and a little bit more succinct, but fundamentally he says the same point. Okay, right, so what do you learn from the Rashba, from Yochas L'Rashba, right? That what we mean here is not quite one versus four, right? What we mean is, everyone agrees that it's one, right? The question is, are these components that have independent identity? Or is it only meaningful when you have everything, right? Is it the circuit or is it the apartment building, right? Is it something that even once it's a whole, one can talk coherently about the components or not? But the Gemara doesn't really mean one versus four, because if it meant one versus four, it should say the nafkamina is, right, one versus four, right? And again, he could have gotten away. Now, in general, right, the Rishonim don't like nafkaminas, like, don't like that the nafkamina is lamdus. Sometimes they do, but they don't really like that, right? That the nafkamina is just, how do you understand it, right? If there isn't, right, they don't like it. It's not always true. The Ron does have that once, right? The old, like, Brisker nafkamina is, the nafkamina is, if I married a woman, I'll deny that the lamdus is like this, right? Would it be chal or not, right? Now, it's true. The Ron in Sanhedrin daf tesvav says that in one case, not quite. He says it like, if I make a ned there. Okay, right, would it be chal? Or the Meiri has this very strange, if, right, the Gemara has a question, how many dayanim would you have needed to put a shor, right, put an ox to death, had it gone up onto Har Sinai during Matan Torah? Right? And the Rishonim asks, Lamai Nafkamina. The Meiri says, if I made a ned there, then I will give the number of gold coins to Tzedaka, in line with the number of dayanim that would have been needed to kill an ox that went on Har Sinai. Sometimes the Rishonim do say this. Fine. Sometimes. But usually Rishonim aren't into this. Right? They say a nafkamina has to be tachlis. There has to be something there. Right? I heard once from Rai Feldman at Ner Yisrael, I think it was Rai Feldman, who said, right, his Purim Chakira was, is a Chakira without a nafkamina not a chakira, or a chakira without a chalos? What's the nafkamina? Maybe there is none. Right? That was his. You hate that, but that was like his very circular meta chakira. But in general, the Rishonim don't like us. Again, the Ron and the Miri notwithstanding, in that one place, in that very, nothing in that sugya is like obvious, right? Like, you have to say something. Why the Gemara is trying to figure it out, it's lumdishly beautiful, right? The question is, what is going on there? Is it this actually a death penalty? Is it not? It's very nice. But anyways. Okay, the Griz also weighs on this. Who's the Griz? Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, also known as the Briskarav, right? Right, in the family tree, right? This is Rukhaim's son, but not the son that was the father of the Rav Soloveitchik and Ruvayu. That was his brother, Moshe Soloveitchik. Okay, but colloquially, the Briskarav, and in some yeshiva circles, just the Rav, or is the Briskarav, whatever. Most of the people who run Brisk nowadays are from that side of the family, right? Around Yeshua, like the Brisk in Yerushalayim, that's like that side of the family. So the Griz has a Chidusha Mamanachot, and he asked the same question. So what does he say? He says, Vitzara Chiyun, who wants to take the Griz?
Should I take another one?
Go ahead, David.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so just pick up at the end of the line, where it says Vitzara Chiyun. Right, he quotes the Gemara first.
Okay.
Right?
Vitzara Chiyun, the my time, lo ka'amar, nafkamina, hecha de'in lo, ela lo shat tzitziot. So why don't we bring nakamina of where he only has three tzitziot and not four? The Rabbi Yishmael de chashiv dalad mitzvot chaya likshor v'labranan hare have kmo she'ina.
Right, he says the nakamina should have just been as we said. If I only have enough string for three, so according to the Tanakama, I should put on three. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, don't bother. Right, that's the simplest nakamina. Good. So what does he say?
V'lechora muvach mizeh ke hashitot.
Good. He says, what's the answer? He said, because I can prove from here a halacha, which is? Good. No, you can't wear the beged.
Right.
Right. He said, the reason the word didn't say that is, you're right, conceptually it's a possibility. But it's not really a possibility, because the answer isn't going to be, just put on as many tzitzit as you can. The answer will be, don't wear the beged. And if that's your only piece of clothing, what's the answer going to be? Round the corner, or right, or go naked, fine. But or round the corner, or stay home, right? The answer is not going to be, right, go outside with a four-cornered beged with three corners. It's not going to be that, right? He's going to make sure, right, that you don't wear it. And if that's the case, Im Kain.
Would that also be where then, in a case like that, there would be not a practical nafkamina, but a... when you can learn things out from without there being a practical case of that happening.
Potentially, right? But he's saying the reason the Gemara didn't say this, right? He's assuming the Gemara isn't going to give you just a lumdish one. It's going to say that if the nafkamina, right, the way he formulates it is the classic nafkamina would be, is it meaningful to have three tzitzit? But he said the practical implication of that would be, can I go outside if I don't have enough string with a beged with three tzitzit and not four? And he says that's not a nafkamina, right? Because what you prove from here is that you don't wear the beged. Right, that's therefore that can't be the nafkamina. Vim kain
in nafkamina da'afil the Rabbi Yishmael asur halavisha mishum chisron harviyit. So if that's so, then there would be no nafkamina, because even according to Rabbi Yishmael, you can't wear the beged because it's missing a fourth tzitziyah. Da'afil lovesh gimel tzitziyot mikomakom chayav lilbosh dal tzitziyot.
Right, and now what's his logic? But he puts a very sharp spin on it, which is, he notes that you don't really have to say what the Rashba says. Right? Saying you don't really have to say that the question is this one integrated whole or three components? Why? Because there's a different reason to explain why that's not a nafkamina, which is, not, is this three meaningful components or one? What's the nafkamina? He says, look, right, did you catch what he did? He a very sharp conceptual move, which is, you can't prove from here that this is all or nothing. Because maybe the reason Rabbi Shmuel says you can't wear the beged is not because... Sorry, the Tanakhama thinks you don't wear the beged is not because it's one mitzvah. Right? Why might he tell you can't wear the beged without the fourth tzitzit? Because you're chayav to have the fourth tzitzit. Not because the other three aren't meaningful, but because the fourth one is still a chiyuv. Right? And he says, therefore there's no nafkamina to saying... Right? Oh, maybe is it meaningful to put on three? Because he said it could be that it is meaningful to have three. But you still can't wear the beged, right? Not because the first three aren't meaningful, but because you're being a mevatel and aseh, you're putting on the fourth. Right? And therefore he said it's Tzorech Iyun, and then he looked at the Rashba. Right? But what does the Griz point out? The Griz says you can't prove from this Gemara Right? The reason the Gemara didn't simply give the nafkamina, which is, are three meaningful, is because there's no way to ever test that. Right? Directly. Right? It could be that Rabbi Shmuel holds that three are meaningful. It could be that Tanakh holds three are meaningful. Right? You couldn't test it simply by saying, are you allowed to go outside with three tzitziot if you only have enough string? Because both tzaddim could say, no, why not? Rabbi Shmuel, because you have a chiyuv to put on the fourth, and the Tanakhama, because you have zero. But either way, they could say you don't want to go outside, and therefore that's not a nafkamina. What it had to do was find a nafkamina that is dependent on, are the components meaningful? Saying, am I allowed to go out with three is not a nafkamina, because the answer for everybody is no. It's only through the negatives that you can test, right, whether there is meaning to the three tzitziot. Because everyone will agree you can't go outside. The question of whether you're mevatel and asay of tzitzit is not testable. Right? That's testable in Shamayim. Right? What's testable is whether you give Malkus. Right? Or kill him in the case of Shabbos. Right? Put him to death. Right? Right? That would be a very interesting case. Right? I give you hasra'a that because we paskin like the Tanakhama, right, that it's only meaningful if you have four tzitziot, and therefore your three tzitziot are not enough, or are therefore considered tassels and not tzitzit, and therefore if you go outside you are chayiv misa because of carrying on Shabbos, and then have to say, I understood all that lamdos amenasken and yoseh. Right? That was the mizbeach I wanted to die on, right? That particular lamdos.
He can't say. Okay, so given that, where even like what you had just said, that we would hold like the Tanakhama, right?
Good. If he said, "Well, I'm Rabbi Yishmael," so then presumably, even though we don't pakin like that, he wouldn't be right. It would not be Amanaskin and Yosef, right? We need Hasra'a, right? Well, we need to warn him, and he's
that we're metakin like Tanakhama, right?
I'm sort of over exaggerating, but yes, theoretically, that's what you would have to do, right? Correct. You would have to say that because we paskin that all four are necessary for it to be meaningful, going outside with meaningless tassels, right, on three is an issur of carrying, and therefore you're chayiv misa if you continue doing what you're doing. And he would have to say, I'm an askin on yosa. Right?
But if he says that he's like Rabbi Yishmael.
So then we'd say, you're wrong, you can't paskin Rabbi Yishmael, but we wouldn't be able to kill him, presumably. Right? Because he's not saying, I'm an askin on yosa. Or he's not saying, I'm doing it with the intent to violate Shabbos, he thinks he's not violating Shabbos. Right? Okay. One more shita. Let's look at this fast. MS. Again, the Griz may conceptually agree with the Rashba, but he sharpens it a bit. Right? He sharpens why the Gemara couldn't ask that. Right? Which is, and this is something that we'll see later in Tzitzit, but it's worth keeping in mind. What the Griz highlights is that there's really two things in Tzitzit. One is a chiyuv to put four tzitziot on. The other is a corollary isra asay, which is to wear a beged that doesn't have four tzitziot. Right, and the Griz says because of that secondary isser or bitul asay, it's very hard to test. Now there is a nafkamina to this. There is a nafkamina to this. It's not just theoretical. What's the nafkamina? Right. So Tosfos notes in Yavama that there's a nafkamina. What happens if it's Shabbos and my tzitzis get ripped b'rishus harabim? Right. So now there might be a nafkamina. Why? Because, right? What? Right, meaning here, right, the question isn't, can I put it on? The question is, do I have to take it off? Or I have a beged that doesn't have tzitzit, but it's Shabbos, I can't do anything. Is there an isser? Right? So Tosfos suggests maybe there is no isser. Why? Because there's no bitul asay, because you can't have a bitul asay if I have no chiv to put it on, because I can't tie it, because it would be kosher. Right? Right? And the connection between this asay and the los asay, or implicit los asay, is actually important, lahalacha. And the Tosfos is a very long discussion of Yavamos Tatsadi. Okay. Let's just look at the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes asks the same question, not shockingly, right? And like the Griz, he says, Yesh lo chiyach mikan, da'asur minatar lecha vitalis below tzitzis, afil ba'ones, shein lo tzitzis, right? He's just even clearer than the Griz. He says, what you conclude from here is that what? Even if you have no choice, I mean, you have no string, are you allowed to go outside with a beged without tzitzit? No, you just don't wear that beged, or you sew it up, or you go out without a shirt, mashiyeh, right? Because if you thought that was not the case, you'd have many nafkemina. Namely, the same nafkemina. If you only had three tzitziot, the Tanakama ain't toel beilu ulu Rabbi Shmuel. Yes, al kolponim shlosha tzitzit. Right, the Tanakama would tell you three is meaningless. Rabbi Shmuel would say do three. La fuke me aposkim disriyadu like isra bazei rak mechuyev lasa tzitzit. He said, and this proves conclusively that there is this implicit isur, meaning not just a positive to put on tzitzit. Because if there was only a positive, so then if you didn't have enough string for the fourth, there's no positive because I don't have the string. What do you want from my life? There's an implicit isur to wear a beged that's required to have tzitzit without tzitzit. The onus here, Rachmana Patre, Mutter Lelech Ba Beged, Bli Tzitzit. Right? Because if you had thought that it's an onus, you would have thought that look, I don't have the string, it's mutter to go outside. Kamash Ron, no one holds that. And he proves it from later on in the Gemara to skip a line. I will beg and mechuyev b'tzitzit. Sir, live out b'tzitzit to the mashmah hacha. V'had damrin and sadin b'tzitzit iku beinayu. And he says, then why did the Gemara give the nafkamina of kilayim? Hagam de malavachi asa isur. He said, it's true that if you wore three tzitzit, you violated an isur. Delovich begeb b'shal shitziot. Avol b'isur de kilayim de chamer plige. Says you're right. The question isn't did you do something wrong. Because everyone's going to agree you did something wrong. The reason the Gemara came up with the specific nafkemina it did is because that's the only way to test it. Right? Now I think the Sfaradim and the Griz fundamentally are like the Rashba. Right? But they sharpen the point and they say, by going through this careful analysis, what you realize is that the sugi is only coherent if there's an implied israsei, or lav, however you want to look at it, of wearing a beg without tzitzit. Because once you have that, as the Griz points out, you can never prove whether it's meaningless to put on three tzitzit, because everyone will agree you can't wear a beged with three tzitzit, either because it's totally meaningless or because you're making vatal mitzvah number four. The only way to test it is by testing the corollaries. Right? And that's what they point out. But what I think is yotzei from this, and this is what we saw already before from the Haktava Kabbalah, right, is that no one really believes that these are, right, no one can really believe that these are four separate mitzvot in the way that, right, tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh are two mitzvot, or, you know, I don't know, right? Whatever, pick your mitzvot, right? The way Shabbos and Yom Tov are different mitzvot, right? No one can do that because that doesn't make sense here, right? The Torah calls it four. It's clear that at some level, they are an integrated whole, right? The only question, it must be that everyone agrees that they are connected. The question is, are they meaningless, right? Or as we put it, is this like a building, right? With the apartments in it, where, yes, right? It's one integrated whole, but it's coherent to talk about components, right? And that's Rabbi Shmuel. Or it's like a circuit. All or nothing, right? If you don't complete the circuit, nothing will go through, and therefore it's meaningless. But everyone agrees that they're connected in a fundamental way, right? And that's why the nafkaminas have to be these specific ones and can't just be, right? Are you Yotze or in Shamayim, what's happening? Because that's not a nafkamina. Okay. Shkoyach, tomorrow.